Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful day that you have given us, oh God, not only to worship you, but God, but to hear from your word. Lord, thank you for the testimony of David and BG, for the things that you have done through them, oh God. May you be glorified in their lives, even in our lives, as we continue to serve you, as we continue to honor you with our lives. Lord, today as we come to the Word of God, we ask that you speak to us. We ask, oh God, that you give us insight into your Word as we continue our study on how to live a life that is, Lord, honoring to you. Lord, we just give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Well, we have been studying the book of Timothy, or 1 Timothy. And last time we heard from Pastor Joe about dealing with false teachers. And you can hear a lot of preachers today who are into, you know, a different kind of gospel. A gospel that does not require a person to commit themselves to the Lord. And a gospel that does not require for you to change your mind about God. And we learned that in order for us to deal with issues like that, we should always think about what God has done for us. We should always be thankful to God that we are still here, we're still serving Him, that we are being used by God in spite of, you know, what's going on in the world today. But today we're going to talk about training for godliness. Training for godliness. I entitled my message "Training Yourself for Godliness." But before we go further in our study today, what is the definition of godliness? Or how do you become godly, as the Bible says, train yourself to be godly? Well, one of my favorite books was written by an author called Jeff Bridges. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Jeff Bridges, Pursuit of Holiness book. But he wrote another book. It's about godliness. And he defines godliness as devotion to God that results in a life that is pleasing God. So think about that. If you are devoted to God, your primary purpose is to please God in everything you do. But you cannot please God if you are not devoted to God. So you cannot separate devotion to God and pleasing God. So your purpose in everything you do is to please Him in everything you do, because you are devoted to God. So if you are devoted to God, you will do everything in your power, in your strength, to please Him. And one of the men that I would say pleased God because he was devoted to God was Enoch. How many of you know or heard about Enoch? Okay, Enoch, the Bible says Enoch walked with God. And after that, he disappeared in the scene. Because God took him, because he was so devoted to God, he pleased God, and then the Bible says he was no longer there because God took him, because he was so devoted to God, and God took him, and he was no more. Okay. Now, why is it important? Okay, so we know the definition of godliness. Why is it important for us to be godly? Or what is the importance of godliness in our life? Well, the Bible says godliness has value for all things. It has value not only in this life, but it has value in the future. That's why it's very, very important for us to learn how to be godly. Because it has value for all things, not only in the present, but also in the future. And that is what we intend to discover today in our study. Well, someone said, godliness is not just the goal of the Christian life, it is the basis of Christian ministry. Let me say that again. Godliness is not just the goal of the Christian life. It is the basis of Christian ministry. Godliness is not just what God wants to produce in you in the future. Godliness is useful in the present. Godliness is not just a product of an effective ministry. It is the means of effective ministry. There are many people today that are preaching the gospel, or preaching the message of the gospel, but they are not, you cannot classify them as godly. They may be effective in their ministry, they may be doing what other people think they should do as a minister of Jesus Christ, but you cannot say that they are godly. They may be effective, they may be successful, they may be doing things that other people expect them to do, but they are not godly. What is godliness? Well, one of the definitions of godliness is doing what is right, and being godly is central to our spiritual development. And that is what spiritual leadership is all about. Godliness. Last time we talked about false teachers. But in order to refute false teachers, we're not just talking about the message that is right or wrong. We're talking about whether that lie that he's preaching is about the right thing or not. So the message or whether you deal with false teachers or not, it is not just about the messengers. It is about the life of the messenger. And so what Paul is telling us here, it is not only what he wants us to do, but he is also telling us how to lead, in order to show that we are in the truth or following the truth of Jesus Christ. Because Christianity is about the truth that leads to life. It is about believing in the gospel and having a life changed by the gospel. You know, that's our only message. We can elaborate the word of God, but without the transformation of the gospel in your life, you cannot say to people, become a Christian, because this is a life-changing message. Unless they see the change in your life, they cannot or they will not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, just like what I said, godliness is not just the goal of the ministry, it is the means of the ministry. Personal godliness is as important as part of the strategy of preaching the gospel and also for refuting false teachers. It is very important to understand this because it always comes down to the level of personal godliness of the people who are involved in preaching the gospel. So my question to you today is, in your relationship with others,
in your family, in your church,
or in anything you do. Can they see the godliness that is say that is said in the scripture can be seen in those who follow Christ? So this message today invites us to embrace the kind of lifestyle that shows this godliness. So what does godliness look like? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you're going to define godliness, what does godliness look like? According to Paul, there are four things that describes godliness. Okay? You can see whether a person is walking or growing in godliness if you see these four things. So if you are not in any way doing these four things, that means you are either not growing in godliness, or you are not progressing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And then you are in danger of just like what happened to the Christians in Ephesus. They were deceived by false teachers. You know, the first thing that the Apostle Paul said in chapter 4, verse 1, let's go back to that. So that we would be reminded of the message shared to us by Pastor Joe last time. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. So if you have your Bibles, let's go back to our text last time, which is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So in the last days, there will be a falling away. Or some Christians will fall or depart from the faith because they will give heed or listen to deceiving spirits. But the question is, how do we prevent that to happen in our life? In other words, how do we keep ourselves secure from deception, from false teachers? And Paul gave us four things that we must do to facilitate personal godliness. Number one, actually you can see that this has parallel in the physical world. Do you know that things in the physical world are or came from the principles of the spiritual world? Number one, he said, eat good spiritual food. And then number two, he said, exercise self-control. And then number three, entrust yourself to God. And number four, engage with others. Four E's. All of them starts with that E. Four E's. Number one, eat good food. Number two, exercise self-control. Number three, entrust yourself to God. And then number four, engage with others. So the first principle is eat good spiritual food. How many of you eat your food every day? Oh, some of you are not eating. Okay, all of us eat a certain kind of food every day. Some of you eat three times a day, some of you eat five times a day, or six times a day, or depending on your appetite, you eat more than others. The Apostle Paul said in verse 6, if you point these things out to the brothers, what is he talking about here? About the false teachers. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished on the truths of the faith and on the good teaching that you have followed. You know, the scariest thing in the world today is if you are not into the Word of God, you will hear different messages in the world. How many of you believe that? That the world is sending you messages every day, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not. The television, social media, newspapers, the mass media has a message for you every day, whether you know it or not. So if you have more time with Facebook or Twitter or the social media, you will get all the messages of the world, and the message that you get from the world will change you to be like the world. You know what the scripture says? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If you have more time with social media, with computers, with your phone, or with your tablet, or whatever you use, whatever you absorb yourself into will affect you and will change you to be the person the world wants you to be. Do you know we have two kingdoms? We have two agendas, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And the world today is trying to give us a message that you don't need God in your life. All we need is to give pleasure to ourselves. Isn't that the message of the world? It's all about you. Amen? That's the message of the world. And the Apostle Paul is saying to Timothy, point these things out to the brothers. That there is a danger in the world today. If they give heed to these deceiving spirits, they will become victims of these deceiving spirits. They will depart themselves from the faith. So what is Paul saying here? What Paul is saying here is in the second part of chapter 6. Let me read that. He said, nourish on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have found. How many of you know that we need spiritual food as much as physical food? It's like what I said, some of us are eating 3 times a day, but how many times do we eat the Word of God? Maybe once a month. Whenever I have a chance to attend the service, that's when I eat. What do you think will happen to you if you eat once a month? What will happen to you? You will not make it. In the same way, God is saying through the Apostle Paul and saying this to Timothy, you know, Timothy, you need to be nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. In order for you to become a good servant of Jesus Christ, he said, give attention to this. Feed on the Word of God. That's the reason why we are giving you this book. For the next 40 days, I would like every one of you to spend time in certain parts of the Scripture. Not only to read it, but to memorize it. You need to
and meditate on it so that it becomes part of your life.
Because this book will not only inform you, it will change you, it will transform you. Amen? So we need to spend time. This is not just a book. This is the Word of God speaking to you and me. Amen? So we need to nourish ourselves with the Word of God so that we can grow in our salvation, in our relationship with Christ. And how can we can be nourished? He said, take the Word of God and let the Word of God become a part of your life. I think it is in Jeremiah where it says, your words were found, and I did eat them, and it became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You know, once you take in the Word of God and it becomes part of you, it will be a joy and rejoicing of your heart. And Timothy was one of those, I would say, kids who were influenced by his mother and grandmother. And while Timothy was still young, the Bible says he was taught by his mother Eunice and his grandmother Louise. Just think of the things that the children must be taught how to do every day. Some of you have kids. Of course, Joe is beginning to experience that right now. And what are those things that you need to teach to your children? You need to teach them not only how to brush their teeth. You teach them how to do things in their life so that they can, survive in this world. So you teach them how to make their bed, to take a bath, to do all those kinds of things. How much it is important to teach the children the Word of God. The reason why, some of us are complaining about our kids not following us, or leaving the church and going with our friends, or being influenced by the world. But the question is, do we spend time with them to teach them the Word of God? That's the reason why we have children ministries, because we teach them the Word of God. And it's very important for us to teach them the Word of God. Do you want your children to be godly? Or do you want to be godly yourself? It starts with feeding upon the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 1 and 2, 9 and 10, verse 15 and 16 says, how can a young man keep himself pure? The Bible says, by giving heed according to the Word of God. So we need the Word of God. We need to feed on the Word of God because it will give us spiritual nourishment. If we don't do that, we will be malnourished Christians. If we don't give time to reading and studying and meditating the Word of God. Because the Word of God contains the truth that leads to life. It is the fuel for godly living that comes from feeding on the Word of God. So we need to feed on the Word of God. We need to eat good food. I'm saying good food because we cannot just eat any kind of food in order to be healthy. How many of you eat healthy food? Some of us are. Some of us are not. So don't eat Twinkies, spiritual Twinkies, and Ding Dongs. But rather, eat what kind of food? What food do you like that is healthy? vegetable, like Popeye. What does Popeye mean?
Spinach.
So eat good food. That means eat what is taught by the scriptures. Don't rely on what other people say about God's word, but eat and study the word of God yourself. So be on the word of God. And then number two, of course, we need exercise. We are not just eating the word of God or eating spiritual food, but we need exercise. So verse 7 to verse 9 says, have nothing to do with godless meats and old wives' tales, rather train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness is value for all things, so we promise for both the present time and the life to come. This is the cross-border saying in the service school of service. So the word of God is the fuel. It is the fuel that we need for godliness, but personal discipline is the framework. Let me give you an example. You know, when you grow a seed or a vine, you need water and fertilizer and the sun for it to grow. But in order for that vine to grow, it needs a structure or a lattice. It needs a guide on where all those part of the vine will go into so that it will grow and become fruitful. In the same way, we need godliness because not only do we want to be godly, we need spiritual discipline. So we need personal discipline because godliness does not just happen accidentally. It requires intentionality. It means it happens because you have made it happen. It happens because you did it on purpose. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. He said, train yourself to be godly. You know, the word train here is the word gymnasio. How many of you have been in the gym for the last week? Why do you go to the gym? Do you go to a gym just to take selfie? As most people are doing today, they selfies are making sure to the world that they are in the gym. But if you don't do anything while you are in the gym, will you change? Will it change you? Will it change anything in your life? No. You go to a gym to exercise so that you will not only become healthy, because you need exercise to be healthy. And how do we become healthy? We need to discipline ourselves to say no in order for us to say yes. In verse 7 it says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly meats. For us to be able to say no, we must know how to say yes to the good things that God wants you. You know, when you are eating something and you know that's bad for you, do you want to eat that? When you know what you're eating is poison or rotten? Just like what I said earlier, if you know that Twinkie or Ding-Dong will not help you, will you eat it? Of course. I like it because I feel it feels good to eat it. But if you know that it is not good for your health, you will not eat Ding Dong or Twinkies because it will not help you to become healthy. So we need to train ourselves with godliness. We need spiritual discipline. Number three is and trusting yourself in God. I believe this is the most important part of creating yourself for godliness. You know, when you are exercising and eating healthy food, what do you need? You need motivation. You know, after January, usually we have New Year's resolution. But by the time it is February or March, we forget about our resolution because, you know, that's not. I've been doing this every year, I have New Year's resolution, but nothing came. What motivates you to become godly is very important. So why is it that we want to be godly? Let me read verse 10. He said, this is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially those who believe. The reason why we want to be godly is because we have hope in Christ. The reason why we want to make our devotion to God in everything we do is because we have hope in Christ. There must be a larger goal in mind than simply being disciplined for discipline's sake. Donald Whitney, author of the book Spiritual Discipline, says, discipline without direction leads to gratitude. And we need effort. We need to do our part, which is to trust God, to hope in God. And the Bible says, because we have hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, we will be able to do it. You know, it's hard to discipline yourself to be godly, because there's a constant gravitation pull towards ungodliness. But even though it's tough, it's hard, it's difficult, it is worthwhile because of the object of our work, which is Jesus Christ. Without God's help, we will not be able to train ourselves in godliness. But we need to hope in Christ, because He's our only hope for godliness. And let me end this message is number 4. I know this is a lot of scriptures. Actually, I think it's 6 scriptures, 6 passages of scriptures. But this is also an important part of being godly. Without you being active and involved with others, whatever you have been taught. Or eaten in the Word of God, or exercised through discipline, will come to nothing if you're not going to apply it to others. The reason why God is blessing you, the reason why God blesses you, is to bless others. So make it a point that you get involved with something. Especially in the church, if you're involved in the church, involved in the church ministry, what the church is doing. If you can be involved in missions, why not? But if you cannot be involved in missions, be involved in the church. Be involved in others. Disciple someone. Teach someone. And that is what the message of Paul to Timothy is in verse 11 to verse 16. He said, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in conduct, in life, in faith, in purity, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching, not to neglect the gift of discipleship. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. And then verse 16, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So what do you need to do? Paul said to Timothy, whatever you have learned from me, teach them to other people. In other words, disciple other people. Teach them. Share whatever you learn from others. And then he said, be an example to them. Be an example to them. And then exercise your gift. Exert all effort. Give yourself fully to them so that everyone will see your progress. But last but not least, he said, exercise extreme caution. Watch your life and doctrine. Persevere in them, because if you do, well, you will both save yourself and others. What is the point here? Point here is, if you are truly a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are devoted to God, you want to please God and everything to you. So you will commit yourself that every day, Lord, I will spend time with your word, because I want to know you. I want to please you. I want to know what you want me to do. So you will eat good food. You will eat the word of God. And then you will train yourself by exercising spiritual discipline, spending time with God's word. My time is saying, it's time. It's time for us to launch out into the deep and say, God, I have been a Christian for a long time, but it seems like I'm never progressing. You know why? Because, you know, we may know the basics. We know we need to eat the Word of God every day. We need to spend time in God's Word. We need to exercise discipline. But sometimes we forget that. Or sometimes we don't want to do that. But the only way we can do that is to be involved with others. Be involved in the church. Be involved in some way so that you can help others to become better as a believer or as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ. So the call of God today in our life is godliness. We become more and more like Him. Because that is truly how you live your life, to become like Him. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for giving us the message of the importance of godliness in our lives. Lord, we know sometimes we tend to forget that we need to spend time with your word, with prayer, and to discipline ourselves to become godly. And Lord, help us that in this way, Lord, we will lead the life that you want us to lead. And Lord, help us today as we look up to you and ask you to give us that strength in you to live a life of godliness. To live a life that is holy and acceptable to you. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we are